Welcome to The Favorites, the podcast from the Action Network. I am Chad Millman. It's a big day because we are coming out of a crazy, crazy weekend of college basketball. We are coming out of a big opening week for Major League Baseball. We are heading into the NBA playoffs, and we are going to do it all with one of my besties in the world. Mr. Bob Scucci. It's inspiring for a Monday morning.
What's going on? I haven't heard that song in a while, boy. That sounds nice.
Yeah, you know why you haven't heard it in a while? Because you've been ignoring us and avoiding us, and you're just way too big time now.
Not intentionally. I've just been pretty busy.
Here's how much you're ignoring us and avoiding us. As everybody knows, the Action Network decamped for Las Vegas for the opening round of the NCAA tournament, and we had a big, big bash at Mabel's, at the Palms, the Wednesday night before the tournament began, and it was a crazy fun event, and we were at capacity all night and had a line out the door. And I had texted Scooch and said, hey, it'd be great to see you when I come to Vegas. Why don't you come to the event? And I got no response, none at all. And the next day, I think I texted you and I said, hey, what's going on? No, this is before. I said, hey, what's going on? Do you want to come tonight? And you go, what's happening? Where is it? I just go, look at the text above.
Yeah, that was my bad. I that was just crazy. That whole week, I had to get a room at the property because I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to do some local media from like 3 a.m. to 6. And then that night people were coming in, getting ready for the tournament. It was just insane.
So it was more important to do local media than doing national media that has a much bigger audience.
Well, this was already pre-planned. I already had the commitment.
In this podcast, Scooch? We've been doing this podcast for like 5 to 7 years, every single week.
Yeah, sorry about that. Well, how about you? I travel all the way to Washington, D.C. I don't even realize that you're at the executive summit there. I had to read your name on a program. I didn't even know you were there.
Well, I didn't know you were going to be there. You're referring to the American Gaming Association. Actually had an amazing event last week in D.C. or outside D.C. And they sort of made it a very exclusive event where they only invited a couple hundred people for these 2 days of panels, and they had some really high-end people there. They had Gary Bettman there. They had Ted Leonsis there. Darren Revell moderated a panel with a bunch of executives, including Jason Robbins from DraftKings and Joe Asher from who runs William Hill. They literally almost got into a fight.
That was great. It was the last panel of the event, but it was certainly the most exciting.
It was almost like, I encourage anybody just to go look, Google like Joe Asher, Jason Robbins, AGA Summit, and you will see two guys who almost like these panels. Normally, these panels are like people giving very canned answers. It's not very candid conversation. The AGA did a really nice job, and they actually had some great conversations in these panels. But Darren himself in the middle of this panel was like, this is the best panel of the conference, because he almost had to come between Joe and Jason, who had such a seething tension that they literally, there was almost a fight.
Yeah. I mean, there's some history there, with DraftKings and William Hill. And when DraftKings was trying to get into the state of Nevada as the daily fantasy sites, there was some discussion as to whether or not they were considered gambling. And I think that discussion went on all over the country at that time. So it was pretty good conversation there.
It was good. You know what else was good?
What?
The college basketball games this weekend.
They were great. They were exciting.
On Saturday night, Purdue had a, was it Saturday night? Yeah, Purdue had a 97% chance to cover as 4.5 point dogs, and with 17 seconds left against Virginia. 97% chance to cover. 17 seconds left.
Yeah, that's how you make money in in-game wagering. By the way, you get those big underdogs. That's what you have to love about sports, is that you get just all these unexpected results. And now with in-game wagering, you can kind of capitalize on that stuff.
Tell me how that was working for you on that game. I had the over in that game, and I had Virginia, so it didn't work out. It worked out, you know. That kind of came out even. But tell me what was happening for you in that game.
It wasn't a great result. I mean, you know, we were bouncing around 4.5 and 5 a little bit, even down to 4 at one point. But so you never want that much movement on a big game like that. And of course, you know, the game falling 5 wasn't the greatest result, but there was just so much parlay action on both sides that we kind of did okay. It was the next game that really kind of made the day for us. But just listening to the crowd that back and forth during that game, it was just so exciting in the sports book.
God, it was amazing. My favorite part of it was Carson Edwards sort of winking and smiling at the kid from Virginia who hit the game-winning shot at the end. Like, you know, just acknowledgement and recognition of how awesome that was.
Yeah. Now, and you know, I mean, sentimentally, I mean, after what happened to Virginia in the first round of the NCAA tournament last year, I kind of wanted to see them get over the hump. And you can see them struggling a little bit with some probably undue pressure in the first couple of games of their four games. They struggled in a couple of them that you can see that kind of pressure kind of weighing down. I think the pressure's off them now that they feel like they've gotten to the Final Four. Now they're kind of free rolling, and now they could kind of live up to the potential that this team really has.
I disagree. I don't think when you're a number one seed and you've lost and you've been a number one seed that lost to a 16 seed, I agree they've gotten over that hump. But they are now the only number one seed left in the Final Four. Like, there is no free roll that comes when you are the only remaining number one seed. And so this is a team that, like, has struggled in the tourney. They struggled against Gardner-Webb. They struggled against Oregon. They needed a miracle to beat Purdue. So now they all go up against an Auburn team that is red hot, like just amazingly hot, right?
That is true. Yeah, they'll catch them at the worst time. Yeah. But I mean, and you've got an Auburn team that just loves to run the floor, and then you've got a Virginia team that just relies on that grind defense, and I think they have the slowest tempo of any team that plays. And so it's going to be great to watch those two forces come together. I think Virginia is going to be able to just kind of limit the number of possessions, and I really think that this is Virginia's game.
You do. What's the?
I do. I think Auburn had their run.
Wow. Do you think that's because of that guy who's out, like the guy who got hurt?
That's part of it too, I really think that this is it's reflected in kind of our line making too. So we're at 5.5 on the game, and we're taking a ton of Auburn money. So for our sake, I hope we're right.
Yeah. So tell me about that number. You opened at 5.5. Like you said, you're taking a ton of Auburn money right now. 77% of the money and 77% of the bets are coming in on Auburn. Give me a feeling of, like, why are you feeling so good about Virginia? What in your rankings tells you that in your ratings tells you that Virginia is the right side here?
Well, like I said, I mean, look at the last two seasons. We're not going to just get off of our rankings just based on a couple of games that that Auburn, Auburn is playing their best, as you just said, they're red hot. So we're not just going to suddenly lower Virginia's rankings because Auburn's playing so well. I mean, that's what just the numbers, we have to just stay true to what those numbers were going into the tournament, during the tournament, and now. And we know it's going to be a little inflated in the public's mind because they're seeing these two teams as equals, you know, both arriving at this same point. When you get to the Final Four, that there really shouldn't be such prohibitive favorites. But you know, I think in this case, Virginia is, and five and a half. We know the public's going to take the dog. They took the dog in both the games on Sunday. And like I've been saying for the last couple of years, I think in any big game now, you're starting to see the betting public favor the underdogs a little bit more than they do the favorites. We've been seeing that trend for quite a while now, where they're betting the favorites during the regular season, but the deeper you get into the playoffs and particularly championship games, they feel like if the team is good enough to get to this point, they can certainly win the game. And if you're going to give us 5.5 points, we'll just take the points and hope the team either wins straight up or covers.
This was a fascinating weekend also. Actually, before I get onto that, which is the most public team in the Final Four right now?
It's probably still Virginia. Texas Tech, everybody just kind of is jumping on the bandwagon with them, and they see them as just a great kind of underdog story to catch a couple points and get some upsets, and they feel like that team's a live dog too. Michigan State's been that steady powerhouse all year, so I would say if I had to rank them in terms of public teams right now, the four would be Virginia, Michigan State, Auburn would be a tough, tight third, and then Texas Tech.
Yeah, I'm surprised that like Auburn isn't getting more public love than say a Virginia team or a Michigan State team. I guess Michigan State, but given what they did, beating Kentucky, beating North Carolina, like this Auburn team just came through like a whipsaw. You know, they really
absolutely
just like inspired people with the way they were playing. If there's any sort of Cinderella team in here, it's got to be Auburn in terms of the way they have sort of a flair and drama and character, and like there's an aura around them right now that is actually really different than Texas Tech. Texas Tech doesn't have that same aura. Are they getting the same kind of betting activity?
No, they're not. And so in this one, the betting is going to be pretty even. So I think our day is really going to be decided by that Auburn-Virginia game more so than Texas Tech. Slightly heavier on Michigan State, both in money and ticket count. That'll probably even out a little bit. As like I said, the public will just kind of bet both dogs on game day. But that one's a lot more closely competitive in terms of bets than Auburn, Virginia.
So Auburn, Texas Tech, Virginia, Michigan State. What does that do for betting interest and betting handle compared to Kentucky, Duke, Virginia, and I don't know who else could have made it. Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. Well, you know, here on the West Coast, we really do have a big Gonzaga contingency, and we've just kind of noticed, especially at our properties, because we've hosted the West Coast Conference Tournament for so many years, when Gonzaga's in it, we get an uptick at some of our properties, particularly the Orleans and the Gold Coast. So I guess we would have preferred Gonzaga. But I guess if you had to look at the entire strip or Nevada, it probably won't make too much of a difference. We'll get some people that have interest because there's some new blood in the tournament. I think just because the blue bloods aren't necessarily in it, it doesn't always translate into, you know, more money when they're in it. Maybe viewership would be up, but the viewership doesn't always translate into more bets.
You know, it's so interesting you say that, because we were just having this debate, like, would the tournament be getting more attention from bettors if it's got a Virginia Commonwealth or a George Mason that sort of gets through the Sweet 16 and into the Elite Eight? because it generates more excitement and like brings in a bigger audience than the same people who are following college basketball and betting on college basketball all year long. And no one pays attention to it anyways. So like, just because these are the teams in the Final Four, like no one's going to care because they're not paying attention to them when Duke and whoever plays and Virginia plays in the middle of February.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you can actually generalize it anymore. I think, you know, like when you see New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and you think, okay, it's great to have a David and Goliath, but it's sometimes people just get tired of the same old teams there. And though, you know, Duke and Kentucky and North Carolina, you know, are great for people following those teams, they know those teams, recognizable. There's also that kind of element that they're tired of seeing them. And you see a little bit of an uptick when you get a team like Loyola Chicago, or a few years ago, Virginia Commonwealth, or a Butler. And that kind of generates that kind of, you want to see them overthrow the big guys, you know, see the little guy beat a Duke or beat a Kentucky. So I don't think you can just really generalize it like that.
I agree. I think it's actually bad for the tournament when you don't get the Butlers and the Loyolas and sort of that overarching story. And I feel like Auburn and Texas Tech, they're not big enough Cinderellas to really generate excitement. They're like schools that people have kind of heard of, but they don't have that sort of sister gene quality to them that is going to bring in more people that are going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's the story of the century. This school, it's so heartwarming, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And from a betting perspective, I think what generates a little more handle is when there's a big point spread involved, because it adds, you know, okay, well, they may not win the game, but if they're getting 7.5 or 8 points or 9 points, that oftentimes generates a little bit more handle too. And it's particularly if the money line is bigger, and now you're going to get plus +250 or plus $3 on an underdog. Now there's a whole other betting element where it's not just an even money bet. Now I can get 3-1 on my money. I've often seen when we get teams that are just a pick 'em, that it kind of inhibits the betting a little bit. There, you know, you've taken the money line element out of the betting picture completely. Now you're just picking the winner. It's like you've eliminated an entire market in the betting.
We're in a perfect storm element of like bad scenario for excitement around the Final Four this weekend. Not to be a Debbie Downer.
Why is it the perfect storm?
Well, it's like, I don't know, middling teams, point spreads that aren't so big. I don't know.
Am I wrong? Yeah, but you know, I think, but you have all the powerhouse conferences represented, which is, you know, or at least most of them, you know, four. You've got kind of a nice little mix of region. You know, the West Coast isn't represented there, but you know, you've got a nice mix of regions.
All right, fine. What's your biggest liability right now?
Oh, Auburn, Virginia, by far.
What about for a future bet?
Oh, you're talking about like for future bets?
Yeah.
Probably Texas Tech. It's not terrible. I mean, we're gonna win money on all of them, and we're not gonna lose money on any of them. But Texas Tech is the one that we win the least amount of money on.
What did they open the season at?
I want to say 35 or 40.
That's it?
I'd have to check that. I know that's where most of our liability's at, so.
Interesting. Texas Tech.
What should they have been, 100?
Yeah, I'm thinking 100.
They might have been 100. I didn't check, to be honest. I just know that. Like,
there's no way. There is no way, Scooch, you open Texas Tech at 35 or 40-1. That is what you're opening like a top 20 team at.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's where all of our liability's at. That's where most of the big bets came in. So as I'm looking at it, 125-1.
Ah, now we're talking.
Yeah, but most of the big bets came in, and it looks like probably late January, early February, and that's where most of the liability kind of kicked in.
Did you take any $1,000 bets on Texas Tech at 125-1?
No. We hardly took any at 125-1.
What did Auburn open at?
I don't have that one in front of me.
Oh my God! I bet you know what? You know what's good? You know what?
What?
I bet you had it when you were up at 3 o'clock in the morning, being asked by local media.
Yeah. I was more prepared for them.
You know what I think? I think you're taking this podcast for granted.
I'm treating it the way I've always treated it.
Oh, see, that's not right.
with nothing but the utmost respect.
All right, I want to switch gears for a second. Matt Ford, producer Matt Ford, if you're listening, please give me a ping. I know we had a limited window in which to record today, so I want to be respectful of that. So I just need to know how much time before we're going to get kicked out. Okay. I don't know if you heard that beep, but that is the 10-minute warning for the podcast. We have 10 minutes left in the podcast. All right. Your biggest liability right now is going to be Virginia. You are going to be rooting hard for the Cavaliers. And yep. We don't care about Texas Tech, Michigan State. And who do you think will win the finals?
I'm going with Virginia.
Me too.
You too?
I am too. Yeah. I had them.
I thought you.
No. Don't throw my words back in my face.
Okay. All right.
I picked my final four was Virginia Tech, Florida State, Houston, and Virginia. And then I had Virginia beating Virginia Tech in the finals.
How did you do with your, remember all those bets you were, I think you did probably split. You were telling me all those picks you had in the Sweet 16 when I saw you last week and you were running down those bets. How'd they do? Did they do okay?
That wasn't good. It didn't do well.
Okay.
No, it was bad. It was bad. It was very bad. But I rallied. Like, I totally rallied. So that day, that week, when I saw you, I think I lost, like, I don't know, everything. I did. I think I had Texas Tech +2. I won that. I ended up betting the Mavericks +7 against the Heat, so I won that. I had Purdue +1.5. I won that. But I lost Florida State. I lost the under 215 for the Trailblazers and the Bulls that night. The next day I lost UVA -8.5, UNC -5. Virginia Tech on the money line. It was ugly.
That sounds brutal.
You know, on Saturday, I lost Gonzaga -4. I won the over 137. Yesterday, I won the under 151 on Duke, Michigan State. And I had Atlanta +5 against the Bucks.
See, that's great that you could just kind of rally right back. And the beautiful thing about sports betting is you could kind of increase your unit size and kind of make up for some of the bets you lost. Money management.
Mm-hmm.
You're right back in the game.
The last 30 days, I am 25-20. I'm looking at the Action Network app. You can follow me. You could do this as well. You could put your picks in. You could track your bets. All time in the Action Network app, this is since October of 2017, I am 158, 144, and 6.
I could follow you. I can get on the app, and I could follow all your picks.
Yeah.
Really? It's pretty nice. I like that.
You should download the app just for that, Scooch, and then you can follow me.
I will. Absolutely. I didn't know you had that feature. I like it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Did you even know that I work for the Action Network, that I don't work at ESPN anymore?
Just found out, yeah.
Hey, listen, in the last 7 minutes now that we have,
yeah.
The a sports book posted season win totals for the NFL this past weekend. It wasn't you.
No, no.
What are you waiting for?
So what's your point?
What are you waiting for?
We have so many locals properties. We could afford to wait a day or two. That a lot of our guys don't always like to tie up their money for that long of a period. But we'll get them right up.
How soon you think you're going to have them up?
Probably by next week.
Do you think the Browns season win total will be more or less than 8? This is next level handicapping. I am asking the bookmaker to handicap where they are going to set the line for the Browns season win total.
So considering that many people are already picking them to win the division now, I would say over 8 would be a favorite.
Now, I'm going to bet the under on that.
If it's 8 over money, then what does that count at? Like if it's 8 over 40, is that a push?
Why don't you just set it at 9 then?
We want to get people to, we know they're going to bet the over, the general public, so we want to get them to lay a little bit more money. Let them lay $1.40, let them lay $1.50.
Look at you, practicing big, you know, big time bookmaking techniques.
It's like the hot trend thing. Like we were talking about the Giants last year and see how that worked out. So this year, the trendy team, everyone's going to think the Browns are, you know, now this is the year. They got the missing pieces to the puzzle, and now they're going to win the division. They're going to go to the playoffs.
I agree with you. You know what I like, though? You know what I like a lot?
What?
I like the Indianapolis Colts at about 16-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Ooh. Did you bet them?
I'm going to.
I'm going to jump on the app and see, find out. Does that count too? All your future wagers, are they listed on?
Yeah, I put my futures in there. I put everything in there, Scooch. Even the mistakes. I put in mistakes all the time, and I put them in there.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I don't take them out.
What a mistake. You mean like if you accidentally hit the wrong button and you bet something you didn't want to bet?
Oh, I'll put in the wrong price on something, or I'll put in the wrong spread sometimes, like, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't care.
All right.
You know, I just like to put the information in. If my record isn't as perfect as it can be, I'm okay with that. It's like, what am I trying to prove?
Yeah.
But I'm going to bet the Colts, and I'll put that in as a future. I'm also thinking about the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans, what do you have them up right now as a Super Bowl favorite, to win the Super Bowl?
Jeez, you know, I'm just not in front of my computer. You hit me with all these.
Is it more than 20-1, Scooch?
Yes, it is more than 20-1.
That feels like a lot. Why would you set that number so high?
There's not a whole lot of people bet the Houston Texans.
I might bet the Houston Texans.
Is that a good one? Is that your Colts and Texans? Someone coming out of that?
Well, I don't think I'll bet them both. It's weird to bet both teams to win the Super Bowl coming out of the same division. But,
right. But so if you already love the Colts.
I don't know if I'll take the Texans. Here's what I'm doing. This is how I want to end the podcast. Two things. I'm going with the Colts to win the Super Bowl at about 16-1. I am going to go with the Browns under 9. And it's time for Scooch Roulette. Let's play a little Scooch Roulette to take us out of the show on the Final Four. Should we play some music?
Okay.
Scooch, final four me, Scooch Roulette for Saturday's games.
I'm going with Virginia, -5.5.
You're going with Virginia, -5.5.
Yeah.
All right.
For our lungs.
You know what I'm going to do? Do you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going with Auburn, plus 5.5.
I knew you were going to. I figured that. But I like it, though. Head to head.
I don't like the pick, but I figured, like, I'm feeling animosity towards you right now. So I just want to go head to head with you.
Did you ever see that scene, Robert De Niro and the Deer Hunter? And they're playing Russian roulette. You and me.
No.
Right? That's it. Now we got a game. Now we got a game.
I prefer to think of this as I am Robert De Niro and you are Al Pacino in the movie Heat.
Heat.
In that scene in the diner. That's what it is.
Yep. That was great.
All right, Bob Scucci. Listen, thanks for coming on your podcast. I know you got a lot of media obligations, so I appreciate you.
Yeah.
You joining us. I'm wishing you all the best in the Final Four this weekend. Go Auburn Tigers. This has been The Favorites from the Action Network. I am Chad Millman. He is Bob Scucci. Download the podcast from Apple Podcasts, from radio.com/The Action Network, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Join The Favorites later this week. We'll have Blackjack Fletcher and Paul LaDuca. Till next time.